kind of a few things that all sort of came together. I mean, the timing, it just worked out great. Like, I had an engineer friend who offered to record some gigs. I had a bunch of fans, like, asking me, you know, you really need to make a live CD. And I mean, honestly, it's just something I've wanted to do for a while. So all these conditions together, you know, I was like, you know what, this is just the right time to do it. And I put it out myself. I mean, you know, I've been on a label for the last four records, and this was something that I could do myself without them. So, you know, I went ahead and did it.
Yeah, that's right. I did notice that normally you put out things out on the April label, and I was looking, okay, Ethan. And it's something you just to do the live recordings, maybe do any kind of a sweetening in the post-production that you need to do when it's ready to go.
Yeah, I mean, you know, really straightforward, something really simple. Again, I could do myself. You know, the label wanted to take a break, you know, but I didn't. I mean, I want to keep putting records out, so...
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you want to
keep the momentum going.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
You had good strong momentum with the last two CDs, great ones. Hit It and Quit It before that, Straight Up.
That's right.
Yeah, definitely want to keep it going.
And let's see. Yeah, are you planning to do any kind of touring locally or anything like that? Not locally, but touring to support the CD at all? Or?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're always playing. You know, I don't really differentiate between, like, touring for a record or anything. It's just we're always playing. So, I mean, it just never stops, which is good. That's how I want it to be, you know.
Looks like you're going to be in New York for the New Year's Eve. I saw that.
Yeah, we have a great New Year's gig in the Village in New York City. It's our second time at this particular place, which will be a lot of fun. And, you know, we'll be up the Northeast. I mean, we're actually maybe up close to you. We're hitting Vermont in March. Is that near you guys?
Well,
it's a couple hours drive.
Yeah, a little.
Oh, okay.
It's not bad. Everything's reachable.
Yep.
Yeah, sorry, my geography's not so good, but yeah, we'll be up that way.
Okay. Any chance of coming to the Boston area, or is that...
Nothing currently planned. Although they definitely may be a possibility, you know. We have another UK trip booked for April as well. We've been doing a thing over there for a little while, so.
That's great. You're starting to get an overseas following.
Yeah, we definitely have this, like I said, UK thing going on. You know, we do kind of like a week there every year, and it's been going really, really well, so.
Just clubs or festivals or a combination of?
Yeah, both actually. We're doing a festival in Wales, bunch of club gigs in London and Oxford and all around.
Well, you better bring your winter jacket.
Yeah, well, please, you know, it's already like freezing here, so it can't be much worse.
I guess over in England too, they're having snow as well, and I guess at least over here we're a little bit able to cope with it a bit better than they are.
True, that is true.
And hopefully by April they'll be done with it.
Man, I hope so by April.
God, I know somebody, one of my friends has his girlfriend stranded over in London right now. She's been stuck over there a week in Heathrow.
Oh, it's got to be so awful. I can only imagine.
Yes. She's
actually,
not like
the, when we went last year, this past year, like right when we got back, right when we flew back, I think it was like the next day that volcano went off and cut off all. I mean, we got out like within a day or two of that volcano. So.
Oh, yeah. The unpronounceable Icelandic volcano.
Yeah, exactly.
I knew how to pronounce it one time, but I won't attempt it now.
Well, didn't they just end up calling it like one letter, you know, because nobody wanted to attempt it?
I think everybody basically just called it the volcano.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Not to be confused with the other volcano.
Okay, you know, the Icelandic volcano. Everybody, mm-hmm. Even the people in Scandinavia called it that, too. I talked to my friend over in Sweden. She said the same thing. We can't pronounce it. Okay.
Well, hopefully your travels will be nice and smooth when you head on over.
I hope so, believe me.
All right. Okay.
So let's talk about what else is on the CD here that we're going to play next. Bob, what have you got? What have you got lined up?
What have I got lined up? Let's see.
Or BD, what have you got lined up for
what
us?
We have lined up is, let's see, we played Friday at the Cadillac Club. And right now we have the great Martin Gaye tune, People Get Ready.
Mm-hmm.
Or Marvin Gaye, rather.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk a little bit about why you chose this tune before we play it?
Sure. It's... You know, one thing about this CD is, like, you know, as I was telling you off air, I mean, we sound different live than we do on my records. My records are really, you know, orchestrated and arranged and constructed, and because that's the kind of records I like. I mean, I like writing and, you know, production, But I really want to kind of show this other side of us, this live side of us that's really kind of different, you know, where we just jam and play, you know, blues and rock and jazz and funk. And you know, People Get Ready is just this beautiful song that we've really played for years, you know, like a staple of our live set. And, you know, we just got this great take of it. This particular version we got at the Cape May Jazz Festival in New Jersey last spring. And again, I mean, we've played it 1,000 times, but we just really got this great version of it, so I had to go on the record.
Okay, let's hear it right now. Thank you. Hey, that was BD Lenz with People Get Ready, and we have BD Lenz on the phone right now. Hello, BD.
Hey, Bob, what's up?
Not too much. As I'm getting the headphones on, I'm kind of scrambling here. We just got talking, and I lost track of time. Okay, so now we're all here. Justine's here.
Oh, yeah.
I'm here. BD's here.
BD, we were going to ask you a little bit about some of the folks that you have on your CD playing with you, and we recognize some of them are regulars from other CDs. Do you want to talk about some of the folks that you have on this album?
Sure, and you have a really good memory. I mean, you know, that was one thing, again, about this record is, like, this is just my core band that I've been playing with for, you know, whatever, many years now. I mean, again, all my records have, like, all these guests and people filling in, but this is just, like, my core band, Like We Sound Live, and I'll just name who they are real quick. Jeff Mattoon is the sax player. He's from Brooklyn, New York. James Rosaccia is the bass player. I played with James. You know, we've been playing together like 15 years. The drummer is Tom Cattone. And I have another drummer who did one of the three gigs that we recorded, and his name is Josh Orlando, who's from Philly. And I have a keyboard player named Dan Paul. So it was my, like, five-piece band, my quintet, and that's why it's called Five and Live.
Yeah,
you know,
I was wondering,
like,
about that.
The big full band that I only get to play with really on the bigger festival gigs.
Uh-huh. And now, who are some of the folks that you'd like to have to do some things with in the future for maybe guest performances on CDs, or maybe at some of your live shows, or some folks that we want to get some insight into your...
Well, that's so hard to say. I mean, you know, I'm so many great people. I don't know that I could choose one. I mean, the honest truth is I just love any opportunity that I have to play with my regular band, like the full band, you know, as we like to do it. You know, it's nice to have guests.
Oh, yeah.
Wrong, and there's people I would be thrilled to work with. But honestly, I'm just grateful for opportunities when we get to play, you know, like we do on this record, you know, the big band.
Yeah,
know.
It sounds great. Yeah. Yeah. No, just thought we'd pick your brain a little bit, see if
sure.
we can get some intel on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess also because you had some great guest folks like Willie on the last one, Hit It and Quit. Yeah, I thought maybe you might compose a piece of music every now and then with a certain musician in mind.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, I've had some amazing people on some of my older records. I had mm-hmm. Randy Brecker on one and Mark Egan. And yeah, I mean, I've been really lucky to have some amazing people. But again, I mean, nobody really comes to mind. I mean, I do a lot of other side projects, too. Like, you know, I'm a side man for some rock singers and pop singers. So, I mean, I get to play with a ton of people as it is, you know. That's why I really, again, appreciate the opportunity to do my thing the way we like to do it.
Well, it sounds great.
Okay, and also we were talking about which guitarist probably influenced you the most. I know you were studied with Mike Stern.
Sure.
And also I hear a lot of Albert Collins in your playing. Is that he an influence as well?
Well, I love the blues for sure. Stevie Ray Vaughan, you know, he was one of my huge all-time favorites. A lot of Pat Metheny. May not hear it on this recording because the recording is a little of the funkier, bluesier side, but, you know, I'm a Pat Metheny nut.
And you can hear it on some of your studio work.
Definitely.
Yeah, I know some of the stuff that sounds like the early Metheny, Lyle Mays stuff.
Yeah, I mean, Mike huge Egan. Influence for sure. Mm. You know, I mean, I've studied his writing as well as his playing. You know, they're both of it is just huge influence on me.
Okay, we have some more music queued up. Let's see what we have queued up next. Actually, it is track number one. It was, I guess, one of the opening tracks from the Straight Up CD. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
No pun intended.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Do you want to talk a little bit about what went into the writing of the piece before we play it?
Sure. You know, I am about, oh, I guess it's two records ago,
I guess. I think it was about 2007.
Yeah. I put out Straight Up, which was really like a quartet record, like a funky, jazzy quartet record. And this tune sort of typified that album, and it was, you know, I really liked the song. But the record had a keyboard player on it, you know, featured guitar and keyboards. But, you know, when I had my sax player, Jeff, on the gig, I sort of have to rearrange it. So the version that's on this live record is sort of how we play it live when my sax player's on the gig, because he wasn't on that Straight Up record. So this is cool. I mean, you know, again, a little different arrangement, and it really just has a different vibe. I mean, I really noticed this when I heard the recordings. It's just, you know, the live vibe is really different than the studio thing. And not better or worse, just different, you know.
Yeah, we noticed those differences as well, and we'll give the listeners a chance to hear what we're talking about.
Cool. We'll be right back.
Lens with Uh-Huh, and we have BD Lens right here on the phone.
Yeah, good.
Hello, BD.
Live and on the phone and in on CD.
Okay.
We're talking about BD Lens's new CD, Five and Live, and this is WMPG, three-piece gabardine saxophone, Bob Show. He's just having me sit in with him, but we're interviewing BD Lens, talking about his latest release. And Bob, what have we been listening to?
Okay, that was Uh-Huh. And is it BD, are you there?
I'm here.
All right. Okay. Just want to make sure all our equipment is functioning normally, which is a rarity these days. Okay, but it makes more fun that way. It makes radio
an adventure. Every time, right?
Yeah, new adventure every time. It's like an amusement, but it's like coming into a theme park, a radio theme park. Okay. All right. Justine was wondering, while we were listening to music, do you do any teaching out there? Do you have any students or teaching or anything like that?
No, I mean, to be honest, I don't really need it, so mm-hmm. I don't really go after having students.
Okay, I guess you probably don't have time with your gig schedule, too.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes, you know, somebody will come to me and ask me, and, you know, and if somebody comes to me, I'll do it, but like I said, I don't really go looking for it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good, because I know a lot of jazz musicians that tend to have to pick up a teaching gig every now and then for a few extra bucks.
Oh, of course, yeah. I mean, most people, yeah, absolutely. And it's not that I don't like doing it, because I really do. I just, you know, I don't need it, and I don't, you know, mm-hmm. again, I don't go looking for it, so.
Yeah, also, while I was looking at the website a little bit, it looks like you've done quite a bit of television work, including VH1, Comedy Central, PBS, Spike, and a few other channels as well. You want to talk about that?
Sure, yeah. I mean, it's been a really great thing for me, as I've, you know, I've gotten my music licensed on a ton of television shows. You know, it's not music that I've written for the shows. It's like music from my records that have gotten picked up. So it's kind of like a bonus, you know, for stuff I've already done. You know, and then it's basically through some licensing companies. So yeah, I mean, it's done really well. I'm not sure why my stuff has done as well as it has, but I'm not complaining. And you know, it's not a lot of money for sure, but it's still nice, you know.
Yeah, sometimes when, especially with, I've had a cinematic quality to it. Sometimes I still use it as a kind of a soundtrack for my various road trips I do.
Well, it's funny because, you know, I've had, you know, I know some, like, program directors who've told me they've used my music often as, like, what, the radio term, like, was it bed music or something?
Yeah, music beds, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so, that's cool. Hey, you know, it's all good, whatever, as long as it serves some purpose. I'm all good with that.
Yeah, I thought maybe if you ever, I guess where I was still trying to lead with that, have you ever thought about doing any kind of soundtrack work?
I'm sure. I mean, if somebody came to me, I would certainly love to do it. I mean, I've never studied that kind of thing. You know, I know there's people who go to school for that, you know, learn how to do soundtracks and stuff. I've never done that, but I would certainly love the opportunity and the challenge, you know.
Okay.
Now we should talk to give folks your website information.
Oh, yeah.
If they want to learn more about BD Lens or read up or just see where he's playing or whatnot.
Sure. It's very simple. It's just my name, BD Lens, BDLENZ.com. Everything you need to know about me and more is there.
And can you order the CD through the website?
Yeah, absolutely. It's all there. There's links to CD Baby and iTunes and all that.
Excellent.
Check my schedule, you know.
Perfect. Yeah, we want to spread the word.
Yeah, and I appreciate it. And again, you know, thank you for spinning my record.
Oh, yeah. We love playing it. We've had a lot of calls. You know, I think people like hearing it.
Good.
Yeah, definitely. Just about every time we play one of your songs, somebody calls, what was that? What was?
Yeah, and it definitely does run the gamut. I was noticing, because Bob and you were mentioning you like to mix it up. And you can definitely hear some tracks have definite blues influence, and some are more funky and jazz and fusion. So it does have a lot to offer, and it's really nice to have that variety. So if you like, you know, and it sounds like you do, you know, a lot of clean guitar work and you know, definitely have a lot of skill and talent. So it's nice to have that opportunity to hear a lot of different sounds all on the same CD, and live is even better.
Cool. Thank you. I mean, that's you know, that's basically me. Like, I'm just all over the place, you know, and I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but it does run a whole gamut. And, you know, my own original music is really just a mishmash of all this stuff that I love. And, you know, I'm just passionate about all this music. You know, I want to try to stuff it all in there. So, but I still hope it's, you know, still like a one, I mean, even though it's kind of diverse, I still hope it's cohesive at the same time, you know?
I think so, yeah. And it also, I think that your passion about it does come through in the playing. It sounds definitely like it comes through in the playing. So, yeah, there's a lot of energy behind it.
Cool. Thank you. It's nice to hear.
You know, also sometimes I think the playing has a bit of a vocal quality to it as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's really been a big thing for me to really, you know, always be thoughtful about writing, you know, I mean, for my studio records, I'm just so cognizant of trying to write good tunes and singable, and, you know, I mean, even though it's jazz, I still think it needs, you know, something that will relate it to other people, whether it be a cool groove or a great melody, you know, and again, I hope that comes through in the tunes and the way I play, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of great depth of feeling in some of your soloing as well. I noticed that both in the live and the studio work.
Mm-hmm. Cool, man. Thank you.
Okay, and we're going to give people another example of your live work. This is another one of your original compositions, Smooth Sailing.
Smooth Sailing, yeah. This one showed up on a record, my third record, Simple Life. And, you know, I always really liked the tune. I was always unhappy about the way it was mixed on the studio record. It just wasn't mixed right. And, you know, again, this is another one we play live all the time. It's one of our live staples. And, you know, I was just always wish I could remix it, but this is sort of like my second chance with it, so.
Okay, let's give it a listen. Thank you. Okay, that was Smooth Sailing on BD Lens Live. And we also have BD Lens Live in a slightly different version via the telephone. Hello, BD.
How are you guys?
Okay. It's great to get talking to you. And I guess Justine has a few questions for you.
Yeah, we've been talking to BD Lens. We've been interviewing him here, playing his latest CD, 5 and Live, and wrapping things up. But you had mentioned a little bit about your studio work and got me thinking about if you want to tell us a little bit about, you know, where you do like to record and how that process comes together before we wrap things up.
Sure. I mean, you know, the way I've recorded my own records has really changed over the years. I mean, you know, a few years ago, before I was ever on a label, I mean, I put my first two records out independently, basically in a dude's basement, you know. It was pretty simple recording. Or I should say pretty primitive, I guess. But, you know, I mean, at the same time, you know, the records came out pretty good for doing it ourselves, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But then, you know, I got signed to a label, and obviously there's a little more resources at hand. And my last few records I've had, you know, I've got to work in some beautiful studios and had some great people, you know, mix them and master them. So, but again, you know, this one I'm back to doing it myself. So, you know, these days it's a lot easier to do it yourself. I had a friend, you know, come and bring some pretty simple equipment. But, you know, these days, again, you know, you can get by with some simple stuff. Technology is so much better. So, you know, for a friend of mine just coming to record some gigs, I mean, it really sounds pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Now, do you have a preference over the style? Do you like to just get in and do it in the nitty-gritty on your own? Or do you prefer to just go in and have someone else, you know, run the controls and do a lot of that?
I have a lot of respect for people who mix and all that, and who really study that. And frankly, like, you know, that is another art that I just don't know that well. And I'd rather have people who know how to do it and who do it right, you know, rather than myself who, you know, I would just screw it up. So I totally would rather, you know, other people do that for me who know what they're doing.
But it's always a lot of fun just to get in there.
I mean, I love the recording process for sure. You know, I love being in the studio. For sure.
Well, good. It's nice to get some insight from you on that. Now, I think Bob's got some other stuff queued up here.
Okay, yeah, well, it's about 10 minutes of, so I think it's about time to wrap it up and have one more track and before we say goodnight. And this will be the closing track of the interview. It's another one of my personal favorites of yours. It's from the Straight Up CD. This is a live version of Bridges. I thought it was a very great evocative tune. Do you want to talk a little bit about it?
Yeah, sure. Just talking about how the live thing is just different than the studio. I mean, when I recorded this record when I recorded this tune on my Straight Up album, it really came off like a jazz tune, you know, like because there's piano on it and has a real jazz slant to it. But you know, again, our live set, it's different. It's a little fusioner, you know, more fusiony, a little more rockin', you know, a little different energy to it. And again, not that one's better than the other. It's just cool in a different way. So,
in a way, it's almost like a different tune, but it still has this element of the same underlying elements.
Exactly. And I got to say, on this live version of it, my sax player Jeff Mattoon played a wind controller, which is like, you know, electronic MIDI saxophone, basically. And his solo on this was so good. I mean, that was half the reason I had to put it on the album, because his solo was just burning.
I know. That's one of the reasons I particularly enjoyed it on both. I liked his work on the studio and on the live album. There's different ways of approaching that same tune, and especially with the electronics, that adds a whole new ingredient to it that...
Yeah, absolutely.
Adds a whole different thing to it, I guess. I'm kind of losing words here. Lack of sleep, I guess.
Well, we want to say we've been listening, talking with BD Lenz and listening to his latest CD here on three-piece gabardine saxophone on WMPG. And thanks for coming on to the show. Bob, thanks for having me on your show.
Okay, I thought you might enjoy talking to BD.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
Oh, man, again, you know, I really appreciate you guys' support up there. Your station for sure has always been great. And really kind playing my album. So, and it's always great to talk to you guys.
Yeah, I look forward to talking to you again.
Yes, we do. In the new year.
Take care.
Okay, you too.